It is hour number two of Shirts and Skins with Chad and Trey at 1:45. Where are we at in society? Cabo Steve and the Jack Wagons are either more incompetent than I realized, or they're giving the finger to voters with a map of potential homeless camping sites. At 1:30, Mac Brown continues to be the gift that keeps on giving. Participation trophy level rings to his players. And in mere minutes, it's our weekly chat with Justin Wells of Inside Texas. I'm Trey Elling. Sitting across from me, it's Chad Hastings.
Yes, indeed. Hour number two. I'm going to try my best at 1:30 not to get too freaked out about the Mac Brown thing. Trey's going to give me some details on that. I'm hoping it is not what I think it is. Oh, my God. PGA getting started tomorrow. NASCAR's coming to COTA this weekend with all three series. Going to be a lot of fun. Last night in the NBA, not much in the way of drama when it came to the play-in situation in the East. It was all Indiana, 144-117. They are still alive. Boston beats Washington, and they get the 7 seed. So it's going to be Boston against Brooklyn. By the way, congrats to Jason Tatum. 50 in that game last night. That is how you lock down a playoff spot. So tomorrow night, it's going to be Indiana and Washington. The winner will be the 8 seed. Tonight, Spurs will start it off at 6:30, and Golden State plays the Lakers. So you get a little Steph versus LeBron for the right to get a playoff spot. The winner of that one will be the 7 seed. More on that coming right now. Let's go to the Vaqueros Cafe and Cantina hotline for our weekly conversation with Justin Wells of Inside Texas. Check out InsideTexas.com. He's at JustinWells2424 on Twitter. Justin, how are you?
Hey now, I'm doing pretty well. We got some sun out today.
Do you?
So the rain has gone away for a little bit, so I'm soaking up this sun.
Man, what kind of storm did you get? It kind of depends on which part of the state you're in, but a lot of Texas has gotten wet in this week or so. What was your part of it?
Just tons of rain, a little bit of thunder, not much lightning, a little bit of a light show late last night, but just lots of rain, a little bit of thunderstorms here and there, not too bad, but just you know, it's all that rain that comes down for May, which isn't bad, you know, it's going to make my yard nice and green, but at the end of the day, it's going to be humid, and it's some kind of humid already, so Indian summer's coming, gentlemen.
Yeah, no kidding about that. Hey, Justin, well, we will certainly get into a little bit of the transfer portal, the upcoming recruiting weekends that will be big for Longhorn football fans in June. I wanted to start on a different note today because yesterday was Vince Young's birthday, which forced us to ask a question that I don't think a lot of Longhorn fans have considered before. We've talked a lot about the Mount Rushmore for the UT football program. It seems obvious who the four are there. Ricky, Earl, Vince, and then also Daryl Royal. But if you're talking about players only, UT football players, Mount Rushmore, obviously it leaves one open spot after the three obvious guys. Who would your fourth be on that list?
Wow, that's a great question. And that's a good question, too, because there's so many people that could fall into that fourth spot. There's so much tradition there in Austin, and that's a tough question. I mean, you know, the olds are going to tell you Tommy Novus, mm-hmm. or Tom Landry, or you know guys of that sort. The news are going to tell you something about Colt McCoy. They'll bring up guys that are a little more recent. But man, that's a tough one because you know Daryl Royal to me obviously is a non-player. You know he would be on there, but. Ooh, Vince, Ricky, and Earl, and who's the next one on there? It's going to be between Colt and Tommy Novus. And I'm sure there's another half dozen I'm not mentioning that could definitely merit consideration.
Yeah, Justin.
I mean, when you look at what Tommy did, you know, one of the mm-hmm. best players in college football ever, one of the first-round pickers at Atlanta Falcons in the NFL, great career. And then look at Colt, took Texas, started 4 years, took him to a national championship game, if not for a crazy injury, probably wins the national title, cements himself as a legend at Texas. I mean, those are the two guys that pop into my head the most, you know, probably the most deserving. And I'm also a big Tom Landry fan, you know, obviously from being one of the greatest head football coaches in the history of the sport with the Dallas Cowboys. And so he played at Texas too. So give me one of those three. I'd probably go with Tommy Novus just because if you talk to the people back in the day, they rave about that gentleman. He was just so big and so huge for that program at that time. But, man, if you talk to any of the newcomers, Colt McCoy was fun to watch, and there's still a lot of people with number 12 jerseys walking around Texas.
Well, and Justin, as far as Novus is concerned, the number 60 still elicits a lot of respect within this program.
Absolutely. I feel like we've seen that in the last 4 or 5 years, once a game for a year, or even twice. I remember Derek Johnson, I believe, wore his final home game in his senior year. I believe Brecken Hager wore it in one of the bowl games. I can't remember when he wore it. But, yeah, you know, it's just – Novus was just larger than life for a time when football was really coming into the forefront of media and television and network and all that. And Novus was a big man. He was a giant among giants. I'd probably go with Tommy Novus.
Yeah, we've had a lot of Novus reaction. James Street has gotten some love from that old school. Even older school, we've had some Bobby Lane fans throw in that if you're just looking for overall greatness and effect on football, I mean, Bobby Lane obviously did a lot of things too. So it has been an interesting discussion. There's another James Street coming in. Somebody says the punter should be fourth. Yeah, I mean, you know, this is Billy Joe Jim Bob on our text line says the punter. We discussed that yesterday, Justin. I mean, when you are a punter that is badass enough to be the MVP of a bowl game, maybe you need to be in the discussion. Trey threw Michael Dixon's name out yesterday.
I'm Team Dixon here, okay?
Right.
Anything they want to anoint on Michael Dixon, I'm all for. If he has to be the fourth, that's a tough one. But, you know, that guy really left a mark at Texas. And it's so kind of – it is cool to see what he's doing in the NFL. But, you know, it's not just, you know, how dominant he was his last 2 years. It was how, you know, awkward he was his first year when he didn't really – he knew how to kick a ball, but he didn't really know football. He didn't know the sport, the rules, things of that sort. And so once he played out, he became one of the best punters that college football has ever seen. You just don't want to put a punter –
on a
mouth rushboard.
That's true.
Your program.
Yeah.
If you're putting a punter up there, it probably doesn't look good.
No, see, what you do there is if you ever have the Mount Rushmore of Texas specialists, that's when you start with Michael Dixon and then see what else happens. Right? You got to do that.
Start with Dixon? Do you start with Russell Erslaven? Start with Rayo Allegre?
See?
You start with Phil Dawson?
There you go.
Start with Justin Tucker? Do you start with Jeff Gray?
I would think Tucker and Dixon have to get real quick early consideration just because of how dominant they were. Although
Tucker, because of how dominant and also what he did.
Yep.
You know, sending A&M off to the SEC is what he'll be remembered for.
Right.
So, and Erslaven, you know, he had some legal trouble, so that might cancel, you know, in this type of culture these days, that probably cancels him out.
It's true. God, there's just nothing like a Mount Rushmore discussion, is there? All right, so talking with Justin Wells of Inside Texas. He's going Tommy Novus on that fourth slot. I don't think there's a definitely don't think there's going to be a ton of argument on that one. Justin, we sit here on May the 19th, and we found out yesterday that we knew the Longhorn games, and we knew a little. Now we know a little more about the network of OU, but we know when that game's going to kick. Probably. What'd you make of the evening kick in Fayetteville? I don't know many people that would have been shocked at that one, but what do you make of Texas at Arkansas 6 o'clock kick?
I have attended a Texas at Arkansas game at 6 o'clock.
Oh,
before.
Do tell.
And it's going to be a little rowdy. You know, up in Fayetteville, those guys, they're big sports fans. They're big Razorback fans. There's a lot of pigs walking around. And I don't mean just the students. It's a big deal there. I mean, I can recall where parking was a problem and people would just park on the golf course to the side of the school. And I thought to myself, these people are parking on green. They don't care. And they didn't care. It was probably one of the worst fan experiences I've ever come across this side of Ohio State. Mm. And so going to Fayetteville and it being a night game, and let's not forget, you know, they finished. This is a program that's kind of, you know, recycling. You know, they're in the Pittman era now. They've got some competitiveness. You know, they've got some players. Jalen Catalan is going to be a guy to watch. It's going to be a good game. I really do. I think it's good for Sarkisian, too, because you can't overlook the first week. Louisiana, University of Louisiana, you cannot overlook those guys. Louisiana Lafayette is going to be another tough out this year, and so that's really not your prototypical cake first game of the season. So that's going to actually – I think that actually helps Texas because that will get them kind of leading up to Arkansas. Let's do it at night. You're supposed to do these games at night. They're non-conference. It's an old rivalry. You're going to have a ton of people that week, you know, talking about what it was like in the 50s and the 60s and the 70s when this game was at its peak. I'm excited for it. I think it's kind of cool that you have Arkansas on the schedule. If you talk to some of the olds, you know, we're talking about Rushmore. If you talk to some of the olds, they'll tell you that was probably the big rivalry in the past, not just OU. And so you got to play it at night. And especially with that group and that crowd, I mean, 11 a.m., there's no way. I mean, the dentist isn't open yet, but 6 o'clock at night? Absolutely. I think it's prime time. I like where the spot's at, and it's going to give Texas the exposure they need if Sark wants to make it, you know, make a big impression in that first season.
Was that previous game in Fayetteville that you attended, early 2000s?
Well, yeah, 2003, I believe, or 4.
Okay.
2003, maybe 2004.
Yeah, because I remember, I think Arkansas came in, what would have been Vince's redshirt freshman year, or redshirt sophomore year. They came into Austin, so it must have been the year before that.
It was the year before that.
Okay.
And No, it was the year after that. Here's what happened. Arkansas came to Austin first, and okay. Chance Mock was the starting quarterback. And Vince was the redshirt freshman. That was actually the year that Vince Young was, you know, Mac started acclimating him into the season, but he never actually took any snaps in that game. The next year it was at Fayetteville. Vince was the entrenched starter. There was no doubt about it. And he made one play. If you go back and look at YouTube, he has a clip where they're near the red zone, and if there's a blitz and both ends have come at him, he spins out of one of the tackles. He ducks out of another. He has four guys chasing him, and he just flicks the ball out into the flat to Cedric Benson, who catches it and takes it 15 to the house for a touchdown. And it was just a glimpse of what we were going to see from Vince from there on out. It was a fun game. It was a real fun game. I believe he hit David Thomas for a touchdown on maybe the first or second play of the game. I believe Matt Jones threw a pick at the very end. Maybe Cedric Griffin was involved in it. I think Larry Dibbles had a fumble recovery in late that game as well. Those were great games, man. And they played some more in the late 2000s as well. I remember when Arkansas came to Austin, I believe it was 2008, and Cole McCoy and that bunch just throttled them. Aaron Williams had a pick six, I believe, in his freshman year. So the Texas-Arkansas games, even though it's an old rivalry, they still have some good games. And none of us can get the Texas Bowl out of our heads. Nothing worse than sitting in the press box covering that game, and in the second quarter you realize this sucker's over. And so there's a lot of good memories with these two teams.
Hey, does Sarkisian maybe need to make an effort to try and tell the guys on the current roster that they need to treat this like a rivalry game? I think that those feelings of animosity probably come a little bit more natural in Arkansas because that fan base does still hold on to that rivalry a lot harder than Texas fans do, who have become so accustomed to pretty much everybody on your schedule wanting to beat Texas. Does Stark need to spend a little bit of extra time to teach these guys about this old rivalry?
That's hard to say. It means more for Arkansas because when they left the Southwest Conference, they essentially left all their rivalries. I mean, this is a school that doesn't really have a rival. They've had some good LSU games in the late 2000s, early 2010. There were some good LSU battles back then with Darren McFadden and Felix Jones. But they've gone back and forth with A&M and Dallas for, I want to say, the last 6 or 7 years. But they don't really have a rivalry. And so, you know, they've never let go of Texas. It's always a big deal for any program to beat Texas in any given year. And for Arkansas, it's that times 10. For Sark, I don't think you have to play the rivalry card as much as you have to play the everybody's watching. This is on ESPN. This is prime time. They got some dudes on the other side of that ball, and coming out of here with a loss would be terrible going into Big 12 play or closing in on Big 12 play. So I don't necessarily think you have to sell that rivalry side of it. I think Arkansas will. I think some of the older fans will definitely get into that. But from Sarkisian standpoint, man, you got to – your selling point isn't so much a rivalry as much as this is a game, guys, you really need to win. This is a game that could really determine the trajectory for this first season. This could lay the foundation. And so a lot of these kids aren't going to understand the Arkansas rivalry. The only thing they saw was the Texas Bowl. And let's hope to God that was scrubbed from their memory.
That's hideous.
And so at the end of the day, I think it means so much more to Arkansas from a rivalry standpoint, but that doesn't take away from how good the game's going to be, especially the atmosphere in Fayetteville.
I think if there is a way to explain it simply to these guys, it is to make the West Virginia comparison. These guys are probably going to want it a little bit more than you. You are more talented, but just get ready because you're going to get their best shot, and their fans, while liquored up on moonshine, are probably also a little bit inbred as well. So they've got the inbreeding craziness that they've got working for in their advantage in this situation, too.
You said it best.
Hey, look, I got to go see the West Virginia thing at West Virginia, and they are the only people I've seen that embrace the upside-down Longhorn more than the Sooners. Not more than the Sooners, as much, even close to where the Sooners do.
Well, they put it on an official schedule a couple years ago.
It was wild how excited they were to like see Texas people and throw those horns down. I mean, they were into it. And then for Arkansas, it's going to be twice that, honestly.
And honestly, thinking about the Big 12, if you want to look at the best, arenas for games, Morgantown is a go. Go see Morgantown. They know how to. They have a fun time at those games.
I have never
seen a stadium with BYOB. I swear on God, I walked in going to the elevator, and there was a dude bringing in a case of Zima. So these people do it differently.
A case of Zima, I love it. All right, Justin, before we let you go for the week, it looks like Jericho Sims has announced that he is going to put his name into the NBA draft, but not sign with an agent to leave his options open. When it's all said and done, do you think he's a member of next year's Texas squad?
No. Okay. I think he's a pro. I kind of thought that towards the end of the season. I mean, if anybody made a jump in their development outside of Kai Jones, it's Jericho Sims. We saw him flash as a freshman. He kind of laid a dud the next few seasons. And then last year, just from the tremendous help from Andrea Hudie, the former strength and conditioning coach, he turned into a monster. This is a guy that can play in the NBA. He can play on a roster. He's big, wide shoulders, great under the basket, good defender, athletic, high upside. He's going to be a pro. But I do like the rule that if, you want to pull out without grabbing an agent, I like that. It used to be so cut and dry. They wouldn't let these players have – you only had a decision. You didn't have options. And it was always do this or do that. Well, now they're at least giving them options. And Jericho's going to figure out where he might go. If he returns, Jericho Sims could potentially be a first-round draft pick. I have no doubt about that, especially the improvement he made in his footwork and his hands going into last season. He can do that, but at the end of the day, he's probably had his fix of college ball. And if you can get paid for a living to do it, when you're in these guys' shoes, it's just really difficult to turn that down. It just is. At the end of the day, it doesn't matter how well off or poor off your family is. It doesn't matter necessarily your current situation. Some guys are just tired of going to college or going to class, and they like the idea of getting a paycheck to go to the gym. And so for me, I think that's going to be Jericho Sims' thought process, and I think he is going to get drafted, and I think he's going to be a pro at this time next year.
Great points as always. Justin Wells, Inside Texas. Check out InsideTexas.com. He's at JustinWells2424 on Twitter. Justin, enjoy your week. Stay dry or stay safe or whichever applies if some crazy weather comes back, and we'll talk to you next week, man.
Nothing but love, gentlemen.
Good stuff.
Thanks, brother.
There. All right, Trey, I looked this up. Last five football seasons. Here's what Arkansas is climbing out of. Last five football seasons, total wins for Arkansas. Guess. Five combined football seasons.
Total wins. Oh, they had a couple one-win seasons, if I'm not mistaken. Let's go 20.
18. So last year they played 10 conference games and only won three of them. Outside of that, in a regular season, those other four seasons, how many conference wins do you think they had those other 4 years? Three last year because that's all they played.
Other 4 years.
4 years combined, how many conference wins?
Let's say four.
Correct. One, they went 2 years in a row with none. They went 0 for 16 in a two-year run. That's what they're trying to crawl out of ultimately here as they get to the new coach. So it is going to be rough. Texas cannot go to Fayetteville and lose. They just can't. There's not a situation where that will make any sense. And good thoughts from Justin on that. Interesting that he's been to a game. Didn't sound like he'd go back to Fayetteville for another football game. All right, up next, Mac Brown might be at it again when it comes to making jewelry that you didn't need to make. Trey will try to give me the facts on that, and we'll analyze it coming right up. Plus, at where we at, in where we at in society at 145, Trey gives you a Cabo Steve update. Don't move. It's the Horn.
Shirts and Skins.
We passed upon the stair, spoken walls and well.
Some grimy Seattle country for you on a cloudy day. Is this from Unplugged?
It is, yeah, okay. And it's a cover of a David Bowie song.
Oh, that's right.
The Man Who Sold the World.
That is a wild moment if you think about it. That's kind of a Stop the World crossroads musical situation. MTV still monstrous then. They still mattered for music, not just for shows about pregnant teens. And Kurt Cobain, one of the biggest bands in the world at that moment, covers David Bowie. That's pretty cool. That's a cool little cross-culture, you know, sort of thing.
Oh, yeah.
Trey's found a Rage-inspired playlist today. We had a little Rage Against the Machine earlier, Soundgarden and Nirvana as well. We got a lot of great texts rolling in on the Specs text line, 337-3776. Somebody says, what will the mindset of Longhorn fans be if Texas loses its first two games? Well, what do you think it'll be? Awesome?
Yeah. Not good.
Not good is what it'll be.
Look, the season's not torpedoed if that happens, though. I know a lot of people are going to want to jump off the wagon at that point. And look, I understand that. I am already minimizing my expectations for this next year. But considering that there is a new coaching staff in place and you're also breaking in some younger QBs, there's a good chance we see this team improve by leaps and bounds throughout the course of the season.
Right.
So it's not over with just yet, even if you lose those first two games.
Oof.
In the first game, in my opinion, Chad, and Paul and I talked about this on EGAT yesterday, filled in for Kevin Dunn. You should check that out. Everyone gets a trophy wherever you listen to podcasts. Louisiana presents a much more difficult challenge than Arkansas does.
Oh, yes.
They have as much returning talent on both sides of the ball as anybody, I think, with the exception of Iowa State this year. And they return a bunch of starters from a roster that was pretty good last year too.
They were 10-1, right?
10-1, yeah. And that included an opening season win over Iowa State in Ames.
That's true. Yeah, that's right. I forgot they got them early in the year. Yeah, that's a good team. You're right. Also, someone texted in, I get to add Stock Car Stu to the title list for Stu this week. That is right. Yes, I think Stu wanted to try out what was he trying? Oh, Speedway Stu. But this is not technically a super speedway. Yeah, we'll get there. We'll figure it out. Coda is hosting NASCAR. Stu and, of course, Rodney Rodriguez of Revved Up will have all kinds of coverage for you, including that extra coverage on Sunday, 12 to 1:30. All right, Trey, we've waited long enough. I've postponed my anger long enough. Explain this Mac Brown thing to me.
Oh, boy, Chad, you are not going to be a fan of this one after I share the details with you.
Okay.
So Mac Brown has turned back into the Mac Brown that we all knew and loved here in Austin so many years ago, with supplying the players from his most recent team with a ring.
Oh, no.
To commemorate the recent college football season. The ring on its top has the NC symbol, the logo for North Carolina, of course.
Sorry.
North above the symbol, Carolina below it, with, I think it's just blue gems on the sides and what looks like little diamonds crusted in there as well. So that's the top of the ring.
Uh-huh.
But here's where it gets sketchy.
Oh, no. Don't
on one me. Side of the ring, Chad, we have state champs 2020.
No, he didn't.
With the Carolina football helmet.
No!
And on the other side of this ring. We have the logo for the Cap One Orange Bowl.
No!
Above the logo for the bowl game that they lost.
Oh, my God!
Well, I guess this is probably just... Yeah, this is just going to be Mac Brown's ring. So I'm guessing above that logo is going to be the player's last name, and below the logo will be his number.
They didn't put the score of the game, did they?
Thankfully, no.
Hopefully not?
Thankfully, no.
Oh, McNamara, what a terrible idea. He did it again. I can remember in the early days of Bucky and Aaron when they found out about that state championship ring here, and we went and looked. It's like, wait a minute, he's giving his team credit for beating those teams in the state of Texas in that particular year? It was not the year to brag about beating A&M, North Texas, TCU, and somebody else, and Baylor. That was not the time to brag. Trey, in North Carolina, they beat NC State, Duke, and Wake. That's it. Unless I'm... No, I think I've got that right. Yeah, that's it. Duke, Wake, and NC State. They made rings for that. That is such an insult to these players. That's where I get really mad about all this NCAA and NIL and all of that. For those that want to argue,
well, they do that, Chad, so there's something of value that maybe they could hawk.
Stop it. Give them money if that's your issue.
You can't give them money.
Figure.
And that rationale, while I totally disagree with it, I think it's ridiculous that Mac would do that, even in the name of trying to get these guys a couple $100 down the road if they need it.
There's got to be an easier way to do it if that's what you want.
That is the only justification for doing something that is otherwise really stupid.
So dumb.
Because this is a really stupid move otherwise.
He's not alone in this either, Trey. Other coaches have done it. Other schools have done it. And let's be clear. I call this out no matter when and why it happens. I am not upset about this because it happens to be my team that beat Mac Brown's team in a bowl game. That is not why I'm upset about this. You should never go back and purposely make a ring that even references a bowl game you lost.
Nope.
That's dumb.
Yeah, if you're going to make this ring, you leave the bowl game off of the ring.
So stupid. Yeah, the state championship thing is dumb enough to start.
Right.
Because why would you brag? North Carolina State was number 23 in the country when they beat them. Congrats. You don't need a ring for that. That's a state rival thing. Your pride is what's supposed to be enough. And, you know, I rip my Aggies when they put that LSU score on the inside of a ring. But at least it was a ring for a bowl game they won. At least it was that. Yes, they were overblowing one victory. But at least it was one they won. Remember when Mike Gundy did this? Mac's not alone. Mac's done it before. But Mike Gundy did it in a bowl game Oklahoma State lost. Years ago.
I was about to say, it wasn't going to be a state championship ring because he can't beat OU.
Mac did it at Texas for when Texas lost to Washington State and Oregon in those holiday bowls. They made a ring for both of them.
Like state championship ring?
I don't know if it said state championship because I can't remember how all those games would have played out. But he made them for those. That is so dumb. Especially when you're at a blue blood. He's at a lesser blue blood now. A lesser, you know, football school, but come on, coach. That is so, it's useless. Useless, wasteful. I don't understand why he does it.
I mean, how much value could these rings even have?
Oh, it's so dumb.
How overboard are you going with the price of the various gemstones?
There has to be a way. This is where the NCAA needs to take a look at it. Like, you figure out ask Mac Brown what his theory is. And if it's just some weird pride and he wants them to be proud they beat teams in North Carolina, well, then that's just his dumb decision. But if he says to you, it's about them having the ability to hawk it and it's worth this much and blah, blah, blah. Okay, then you got to stop, rework your system, strip it down, build it back up, and figure out a way. Figure out a way, because you can set something up. You can set something up where after they graduate, they would have some money. You can figure that out if you really want to. It's not that difficult.
Go to the SEC and start asking questions.
I'm going to guess there's an SEC football player or two that have graduated and there was money on the other side of it. I'm just guessing. That's a total guess. Total theory. Find out about it in Chapel Hill. Stop making rings like this. That's stupid. I mean, that is world-class dumb. Come on, Mac.
You think he's still bragging about Sally's cookies?
Oh.
In fall practice media sessions?
Sally making a batch of cookies for every player makes a ton of sense over this. Sally giving the recipe to the players makes tons of sense. Invite them all over. Make the cookies. That all makes sense. This does not.
What about Sally making a cookie cake whose icing signifies the state championship won the previous year and does also mention participation in a New Year's Six game?
No, no, you can't reference the bowl you lost. Period.
Okay, that's fair.
You can't reference the bowl you lost. Just like, Trey, here's my other rule, another OCD rule. If you're a fan and you go to a bowl game and you're all proud that your team's in the bowl game and you buy the shirt, you have to throw it away if they lose. You're not allowed to wear that shirt over and over again. Somebody brought me back a shirt for the Texas-Michigan Rose Bowl game. And I've been using it as like a lawn mowing shirt, work around the house shirt for years. Because it's, I mean, 04, it's that old, right? But I would have immediately thrown it away. If I was a Texas fan and had that shirt, I would have never worn that shirt.
Was that the shirt that Craig Way bought for everybody in the airport on his way back?
Probably. Yeah, probably. I still have it. I still mow the lawn in that thing.
Good for you.
You know me. I don't throw anything away.
No, you don't.
I let stuff go a long, long time. That UAB shirt you bought me, we're going till the wheels fall off.
Well, that's a cool shirt.
It is.
Well, in defense of the UAB shirt.
It is also a badass shirt, but I'm telling you, I'm going to wear it till it literally falls off my body.
How are you not more of a pack rat in terms of just having boxes of stuff packed up at home, considering how cheap you are and how long you hold on to things?
You say that like there aren't boxes in my house. There's stuff in my house.
My apologies, Wendy and Monkey.
There's stuff there. I'm not like a hoarder type. I'm not quite that bad, but no, there's stuff there.
Okay.
There's stuff I need to go through at all times. There's just all kinds of boxes in the house. I could just literally take them and go, that's it, we're done, throw it away.
Is it stuff from like high school and college?
Yeah,
a lot. It just has a waning to no more sentimental value, but it did at one point, so it's still there.
That's exactly it. And then I'm so OCD, I'd have to go through it all to make sure I throw away the right stuff and keep the right stuff. It's so silly. It's so dumb. Somebody should just go in when I don't know it and throw it all away. That's where I do become the guy in hoarders.
Well, because
I'd never miss it.
Yeah, you would never know the difference. Even if you were to go through it all a week later, you wouldn't remember everything that you had held on to.
Yeah, there's no chance. There's no chance. No, I'm a little bit of that guy. I'm a pile mover, Trey. It's what I do. When I say I clean the house, all it means is I move piles. I took piles in one place and put them in another place, and I clean the space where the pile was.
I tell Justine when she gets upset with my night table or the end table that is next to the spot on the couch that I sit to that just has books and all sorts of other crap stacked up on it. Look, this is not a mess. This is my version of controlled chaos right now, and you need to respect that.
Mm-hmm. How's that work for you?
Not well.
I was going to say, I haven't tried that one. I'll give it a shot, maybe. All right, there you go. Mack Brown and another state championship ring. Good grief, I wish we were kidding. All right, coming up next, where are we at in society? Trey's got a Cabo Steve update involving that homeless issue. Pay attention. It's The Horn.
Shirts and Skins.
Guitar right there. Who's this, Trey?
This is Sponge.
Okay.
The song is called Plowed.
I had a couple guesses and it was not going to be Sponge, so I had to admit I didn't know that one. That's a cool little riff, though. That was really nice. All right, so we've gotten some text reaction to the discussion we were just having about Mack Brown and another state championship ring, this one at North Carolina. Somebody says they have an 03 Texas Final Four shirt. They wear it around the house, even though they lost. They see it as an accomplishment because it was the only Final Four they'd ever been to, you know, in that format. Trey, I totally get that one.
No problem with the Final Four shirt.
Oh, no. You keep the Final Four stuff. When it's an accomplishment like that. Now, I would say if you were a Kentucky basketball fan at that moment, it's different. Even if you're if you were a Syracuse fan and they had lost, we might have a discussion there. You already had titles. You didn't get one that year. Then that's when we'd have a talk. Like back in the day. When my man Dustin McComas was producing for us and he walked in wearing a Steelers AFC championship hat from the year the Cowboys beat him. I'm like, dude, why do you wear that hat? You're a Steelers fan. You should never wear that hat.
Agreed.
Right? It just didn't fit right. But yeah, absolutely. 03, Final Four, yes, trust me, that would happen. Look, if if A&M basketball ever gets to the point where they could even kind of sniff the Final Four, I'll get all kinds of stuff and never not wear it.
You're wearing a Sweet 16 appearance?
I think I would.
Piece of gear?
I think I'd have to. I think by rule I would probably have to. All right, if you're just jumping in, we started with some Major League Baseball nerdiness. We had some PGA breakdown as that gets started tomorrow. Jordan Spieth goes out at about 1 o'clock our time. And yes, Mac Brown made a state championship ring for his North Carolina players, even though they didn't win the division. They got beat in their bowl game, and he even referenced the bowl game on the ring that they lost. That makes no sense. Speaking of things that make no sense, sometimes we get that here. Where are we at in society? Here we go.
Where are we at in society today?
Where are we at in society? I'm going to tell you it's sponsored by Student Loan Payment Lawn Care. SLPLawnCare.com to get on the schedule for Jake and the guys. They come out to my place every couple of weeks, take care of mowing the lawn, trimming bushes, trimming trees, mulching. They actually pulled some dead bushes from that deep freeze from a few months ago this week. They'd be happy to help you out as well. Just check them out at slplawncare.com. Chad, it's time to give an update on the homelessness issue here in Austin, considering that it was earlier this month that voters officially overturned the idiotic strategy that Cabo Steve and his band of merry jack wagons implemented almost 2 years ago, allowing homeless people to camp wherever they want to. It was a terrible strategy. It is now a failed strategy. They chose not to spend tens of millions of dollars on top of allowing the problem to become much worse. And the voters finally had enough. They overturned it. And we are now seeing Cabo Steve and his band of merry jack wagons drag their feet on actually taking care of the problem, like those who pay taxes to foot the bill for their various salaries, as I have asked them to do.
Yeah, I was going to say, I feel like I've seen some things thin out in places. I don't think I've seen it go away, though.
Thinned out, and a lot of that thinning out was happening the couple of weeks leading up to that May 1st vote,
Okay. Where
they were trying to make the problem look like less of one, I guess. I'm not totally sure. It was the first time we've seen them really do anything in the year and a half plus since the policy went into place. And things are, I think, starting to get a little bit worse again before the city actually does something to make it better. And part of that is by design. They have set up a 3+ month plan, let's call it, with the first month, them going around offering up warnings to people who are camped out under highways, along roadways and elsewhere, saying, hey, look, starting in a month, we're going to have to start writing warnings. So month two involves writing some warnings. And I forget if citations is a part of month two as well, but they're trying to avoid, as they should, writing enough citations that these individuals end up going to jail. That's not a viable strategy, nor should it be a part of what they're attempting here. And it's not until month three, Chad, that they start writing citations and then also trying to clear campsites. So they've given themselves 2 full months to actually really begin to take care of the problem. And I would argue at that point, which, by the way, taking care of the problem, clearing campsites includes taking people who want to remain homeless in Austin to designated campsites, that it's going to take them a lot longer than just a couple of days or a week to clean up all of the issues, all of the problem areas across this city, because it is pretty much under every highway overpass and plenty of other places, including surrounding the city council building now, the city of Austin building. It is all over the place, and this is something that's probably going to take at least a couple of months to clean up once they actually get to that point. The problem is actually them getting to that point.
So when they go out there and start dealing with the citations or whatever it is and trying to give that information, are they also giving options at that point? Are they laying out the options for, here's something, you know, you could do this or you could do this or you could do this? And I know you said at some point there's transportation that happens, but are they getting those options out there early so everybody can get prepared?
I would hope that education is a part of that, but I honestly don't know. Yeah. I'm going to try and give them a benefit of the doubt and say, look, they are letting them know what is coming and what they can possibly do about that to try and get themselves into this quote-unquote system. Here's where I take major issue with what they're trying to implement right now. A map was just released, I believe this was yesterday, of 45 potential spots that could become campsites for Austin's homeless population, again, in 2 months, whenever they actually decide to start enforcing this policy that the city of Austin voted on.
Mm-hmm.
Most of the spots on this map, Chad, which was released yesterday by the Austin American Statesman, you can check it out at statesman.com, are literally in parks that are next to or surrounded by residential areas. So parks and neighborhoods, like, they're saying...
They're already public parks.
Public parks.
Wow.
That are essentially a part of whatever neighborhood they are within or close by to.
Ah.
Which, to me, says one of two things. Either Cabo Steve and his band of Merry Jack wagons are even dumber than any of us truly realized, or they are giving a giant middle finger to the voters of Austin for rescinding their idiotic policy. And excuse me for not taking it as the latter. This is an enormous insult to everybody who wants you to do something realistic and relevant to cleaning this city up, helping out the taxpaying citizens, and also helping out the homeless population too, and allowing them to post up in neighborhood parks. I'm not kidding. Circle C. I mean, there are so many neighborhoods that we're familiar with that these parks are being designated as potential spots for the homeless populations that I guarantee you the residents of those neighborhoods would have a huge issue with. Hmm. You need to do better, Cabo Steve and Band of Merry Jack Wagons. This is not acceptable. Most of these 45 parks or areas that you're considering right now are not okay by the citizens who would be most affected by this. Find a better solution. You've given yourself 2 months. You need to find something better than this, because putting people in parks next to Circle C, I don't think Steiner Ranch is necessarily on here, but plenty of other neighborhoods in this city is not going to cut it.
All right, coming up, your 2 o'clock hour right around the corner. Let's switch to the NFL. We found some power rankings, talking about some key players post-draft. If the Cowboy comment in this article is right, it just makes me want to throw something at Jerry Jones. We'll get to that. Plus, coming up at 2:30, why May the 19th matters. We'll hit some birthdays, including one big birthday. And I mean big birthday. That's coming up on the Horn.